Can I have somebody help me with the communion, and we'll take communion. And oh, I'm undone. Well, you know that saying, you're ugly and your mama dresses you funny? Well, Father, we thank you for the communion that you've given us. Father, we thank you that as we discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing in our bodies and have his life flowing through this. And that's what we expect to receive when we take this. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you that his body was beaten and bruised for us. His body was broken. We thank you, Father, that it's by his stripes that we are healed. We thank you, Father, that his body was pierced and he shed his blood in so many places, in so many ways, and it was for our redemption. Father, we thank you that the full wrath of your fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. The wrath and judgment that we deserved was laid on Jesus. He took the punishment we deserved so that we can have the blessing that he deserved. Father, we thank you for this. We take this in full faith for our healing and well-being. Jesus, you shed your blood. And your blood has justified us. Your blood has washed away our sins and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we have protection and deliverance through the blood of Jesus. And we thank you that the New Testament promises are sealed in by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you that we can have boldness to enter into your throne and receive mercy and grace in the time of need, because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. It's always by the blood of Jesus. It's always by the blood of Jesus that we are justified, we're set free. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we can go into God's presence. You have to understand that you've been justified freely by his grace. Justified, never sinned. Think about that. You do have a past. And it's been dealt with. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that you've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. When you got born again, you got made new creatures in Christ Jesus. A lot of people spend a lot of time wishing that they could just start life over with a clean slate. As far as God is concerned, that's just exactly what happened when you got born again. You just started over. Your past washed away by the blood of Jesus. And he has a glorious future for you. We're going to continue on with our adventure through Ephesians. But I want you to turn to the book of James, where we're going to start off. I want to read something to you. that describes you. We've all heard that we're God's workmanship. Have you ever wondered about human worth and divine destiny? See, a lot of people have been said they were worthless. You're as worthless as bumps on a boar hog. You're never going to be worth anything. People have actually been told that. That's a sorry thing to say to somebody. You should never ever say something like that to somebody, especially a Christian. I want to read this to you. Since you are God's workmanship. Oh no, I'm just reading something to you. A good artist are known for the quality of the artistic products that they produce. Great artists rise above good artists and that their products stand out when viewed next to good art. However, a masterpiece has no equal. It cannot be copied or imitated. A masterpiece results from the artist's careful craftsmanship, and its value is measured by the price a buyer is willing to pay for it. The value becomes permanent when the name of the artist becomes known. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, all of us have been handcrafted by God. We are His workmanship. He begins the work in us, and He will complete the masterpiece. God continually perfects His work that He begins in us. And as we submit ourselves to the divine artist, the masterpiece is developed. We are created for a purpose, to do good works. The works we are called to do are good because our designer gives us the propensity to be good and to do good. You need to understand, I don't care what anybody said in the past. I don't care what anybody did in the past. When you got born again, you got purchased with the blood of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus is more valuable than any gold or silver. The blood of Jesus is the most valuable substance that has ever been on this earth. The blood of Jesus paid your debt in full. There's no amount of money, there's no amount of talent, there's nothing in this world that could pay your sin debt. But the blood of Jesus paid it in full. When you got born again, you got made perfect in Christ Jesus. You are not a second-rate Christian. You are a jewel in God's eyes. You are the disciple whom Jesus loved. You've been made absolutely perfect and priceless in His eyes. It's important for us to try to spend some time and look at ourselves the way God sees us. Not only that, but look at other Christians the way God sees them. Sometimes it's a challenge. Now we're going to go to James, and we're going to see how this comes about. But James chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. It's important for us to view everybody in Christ Jesus. Regardless of their status in life, regardless of their color, regardless of their social standing, I don't care how much money they have or don't have. I don't care if they're covered in tattoos. I don't care what they did in the past. I don't care anything about none of that. They've been washed by the blood. And if they haven't been washed by the blood, then you need to be witnessing to them so they can be washed in the blood. Do you realize that? There's only three kinds of people we're going to run into in life. There's people that are Christians. There's backsliders. And there's people that need to be born again. Yeah? Now, the backsliders, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. The church family wants to get together and celebrate and shout hallelujah, and that's great. And then some of them really don't mind going out and witnessing to the lost and getting them born again, and that's great too. But somehow they draw a line at the backslider. They say, yeah, he used to go to church, but then he started doing this, and then he started doing that, and she did this and did that. We just ain't going to have nothing to do with them. You need to knock that off. You need to reach out to them and encourage them and help them and try to get them back in. Amen? They're still born again. They are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They are bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And God loves them with a never-ending love. You know, in AA, I noticed that they have this habit of, you know, the people that are sound and healthy, when somebody gets in trouble and they go back out and go to drinking or something, there'll be a group of these people that will go out there and find this guy in the middle of the night, get him to safety, feed him, stay up with him and visit with him, and spend days with this guy. And they'll do it in shifts. People will go out of their way to go help this guy to get sober again. They'll come together as a family to go do this. I noticed a weird little quirk about a lot of the church. When somebody makes a mistake and they go out, they're doing something wrong, I notice the church pounces on them like a pack of wolves and devours them. I don't ever want to hear that. Ever. If somebody makes a mistake, if something happens to somebody, I want to hear about people getting together praying for that person. I want to hear about people going out, seeking this person out, making sure they got food, clothing, and shelter. I want to go out there and hear about people ministering to them to help them resolve whatever issue it is that caused them to stumble in the first place. Amen? I want to see the church bring these people back in. And I'll tell you why it's got to be you guys, is because I'm usually the last person in the world that hears about it. And I'm usually the last person in the world they want to see. I'm usually the one person that's not going to judge them. Amen? We've got to be a family. We are the body of Christ. And that's one of the points that we're going to see in here. That we are the body of Christ. You know, that is the church. That's God's building, the church. This four walls and this roof is not His church. This is a building. God said He was not going to live in a temple made by hands. He lives in His church. That's us. Paul was a peculiar kind of pastor. The Apostle Paul. One day he was dealing with a church that was having some challenges. These guys were getting drunk in church. These guys were sleeping with temple prostitutes. These guys were doing all kinds of rude things. Terrible things. Things that in the modern day church now, they just get kicked plumb out on the street. But what did Paul do? He came up to him and he said, "You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." He said, "You've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus." He said, "Don't be unequally yoked with darkness." And then he said, cover the women's heads with a scarf. He wasn't talking about the Christian women. He was talking about the temple prostitutes. He was telling them to cover their heads and to shut up. He wasn't saying that women should not be preachers. Amen? But he was telling the temple prostitutes to shut up and cover their head. Not Christian women. Amen? Is about our past order of the living dead. You know, we used to be living dead. That was us. But we have a new order of God's loving life. That's right now. We have a new union and a present peace with God. And then there's a future. You know, we try to figure it out through eschatology, and we try to look into different, you know, parts of Revelation and different prophecies that have happened. We're not really exactly sure how all this stuff is going to happen. We know there's a millennial reign coming up. Don't get all worried about trying to get it all figured out. Just trust in Jesus, because He already knows the beginning from the end. Amen? I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read our study text. That verse 1 said, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Let's stop right there for just a second. A lot of people are trying to figure out what's wrong with the world. He said, this world has gone crazy. And what's going on? you know, there is a prince of the power of the air out there. And if these people aren't born again, they're going to obey that voice. Now, they may not all be just crazy people like the ones in Washington, but here's the thing. Satan has a tiered system. And he's going to have his demons working throughout the world in different places. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but things get really squirrely around Capitol buildings. You know, we got our county seat. There's some squirrely stuff happens here once in a while, but you want to get really squirrely, go to Austin. And you want to get completely nuts, go to Washington. Why is that? He's got more powerful demons working over Washington. And then he's got some strong demons in Austin, and he's still got demons here, but they're not like the pressure that they're seeing in Austin and Washington. And these people are being led by the prince of the power of the air. The same way when you get born again, the Bible tells us that as many as get born again can expect, as many as the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. So when you get to be born again, you can expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. Guess what? If you're not born again, you can expect to be led by the prince of the power there. That's why some of these people are incapable of making a good decision. You know, you've heard this said, if a politician's lips are moving, he's lying. Well, some of them, yeah. Some of them, if they're not born again, they don't have a chance. They're going to get swallowed up in that evil. Another thing that I've had to address a lot is people will come to me and they'll say, this politician says he's a Catholic, or this politician says he's a Methodist, or this politician says he's a that. I don't care what anybody says they are. You can go to church all your life and not be born again. See, that's the difference between churchgoers and the church. Not everybody that goes into one of these buildings is born again. There's whole denominations that you'll never hear an altar call in there. People are not going to get born again without an altar call. That's somebody telling them how to get born again. I'll mention Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 to preachers on purpose. And they'll say, I don't know that verse. I'm not familiar with that verse. So I'll have to go look it up. And say, if you're not familiar with Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, what are you doing behind the pulpit? That one should be scarred on your heart. That's the most important verse in the Bible. That tells us how to get born again. And Jesus said a man must be born again. I'm a little preachy today. But here's the thing. When people don't know the Bible, they don't need to be back here. That's why I say you're going to hear all kinds of lies from behind the pulpit. The same way you'll hear lies from the politicians, you'll hear lies from preachers. They'll tell you all kinds of stuff about God that just isn't true. That's why it's so important for you to read the Bible for yourself. get the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of you so that you can stand up to these lies. Always remember that if a man is not born again, he's not going to be led by the Spirit of God. And not all pastors are born again. I don't care how cool and long and flowing their robes are when they preach. If they're not born again, they're not listening to the Spirit of God. I say this because the guy that ordained me went to a pastor's conference and preached, and he got 30 pastors born again. See how dangerous this world can be. One of the main things that Paul wanted us to see is the church as the present, the physical presence of Christ. The church is to be filled with Him by the Holy Spirit and assigned by the Lord Jesus to represent Him to society, to minister His life, His love, and His power. That's our calling. You want to know what God's will for your life is? There it is. To get born again, to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and go out there and witness the Christ's resurrection. Tell people about Jesus. Minister to them. A lot of the charismatic world has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they've missed the point and purpose of this. They want to roll around on the floor and talk in tongues and laugh and be crazy, dance around and shout, but they missed a purpose. Did you know that God did not restore the baptism of the Holy Spirit so people could speak in tongues? That's part of it. He wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit on people so that they could be endued with power to go out there and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that they could add to the church daily. That's what happened in the book of Acts. Amen? Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a lot of circles has been reduced to a goosey, bumpy feeling. Oh, it was so wonderful. It was so good. And that's the pastors not teaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit correctly. What it's for. We do need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And regardless of what people may think, you don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit just because you get born again. You're not Spirit-filled just because you get born again. You don't get that until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you're ready to go out there and have some fun. And I say fun because it is fun. It's not treacherous. When I talk to missionaries, when I talk to people that have been out in the field, out doing different things in different places, and when they come back and tell me what a struggle it is, how hard it is, what a grind it is, I ask them, I said, why won't you just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they'll say, we don't believe that. I see it in the Bible, but we don't agree with that. These are the same ones that beg you for money every time they come back. The Spirit-filled believers, they come back and say, man, it was a rocking good time. I mean, we had fun. I mean, it was a blast. And they tell you about all these different things that they did. Some of these guys, one guy, he went to one of these jungles, to preach the gospel. He was a Spirit-filled believer, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And these natives started chasing him through the jungle. They finally caught him. And they tied him to a tree. And they were gonna do whatever they did. And he just, I didn't know what else to do, so I just started speaking in tongues. And he's just, and he said, they all got born again. And they untied me. And it was good. Well, why don't you just let God do his thing? Amen. We don't know very little. We think we know a lot, but we're not privy to most of the information we think we need to know. Let's look at another part here. See, it's a good thing God stepped in and got us born again, isn't it? One of the problems, started here in verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Circle this part. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places. Circle this. This is one of those in Christ Jesus things. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now there's that thing again. We're saved by grace. Now, a lot of church, they'll say, you are saved by grace. But what they mean, they don't understand this. What they mean is, you're born again by grace. But then, and I know this because somebody new will come in there and they say, you're saved by grace. Praise God. What they really mean is they're born again by grace. Because what they'll do is that now that you're here, there's these 10 things that you got to do. Here's these 5 things that you got to do. Well, are you saved by grace or not? Are you saved by grace? The first thing you need to understand is that word salvation. That word salvation means basically everything that a man needs is wrapped up in that word. It takes us something like 28, 29 English words to describe that one Hebrew word. Yes, you got born again. Yes, you are saved in the sense that you are going to heaven. But I got news for you. You are being saved right now. Unless you're done being healed, unless you're done being delivered, unless you're done being protected, unless you're done being provided for, you are being saved. See, if people just understand, rightfully divide the word of truth, a lot of these schisms in the body of Christ will go away. And then you will be saved when you see Jesus face to face and he completes your redemption. I explained this to a charismatic Catholic that had sat under the feet of a pretty popular priest. I went through this whole thing with him and I explained it to him, and he looked at me and he said, "Do you know how Catholic that sounds?" I said, "Do you know how Christian that sounds?" And it's by grace and not of your own works. One thing you should get a picture of in your mind is when Jesus was on the cross. There was two people. There was one on each side of him. And one was hurling accusations, railing on him and cursing at him. There was another one there. Remember, his hands were nailed to the cross too. And he said, "Jesus." He called on Jesus. And Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Now, I want you to know something about this guy on the cross. He had never, as far as I know, he had never set foot in a church. He had never prayed. He had never read his Bible. He never took communion. He wasn't even a tither. That'd get him kicked out of a lot of circles. He never got water baptized. He never got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the one thing that was needful for salvation, he did. He called on the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Period. Period. You call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you're saved. I don't care if you be anything else, you're saved. Don't ever let anybody tell you that there's something else that you need to do after that. Now, some of these things are good. You should read your Bible. You should read your Bible so you can get his word in you, so you can operate the way he designed you to. Praying is a good thing. Praying is a good thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a really good thing. These are things that you should do. Getting water baptized is a really good thing. Tithing is a wonderful thing. There's lots of things that you can do. These are not things that are going to get you to heaven. But these are things that will help you in your development as a Christian, your fellowship with your Father and your fellow body members. Amen? But Jesus said that a man must be born again. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Tells us that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with your heart that you believe unto righteousness. I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want every head bowed and every eye closed, because this is a personal decision between you and Jesus. Nobody else can make it for you. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you say this prayer out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that God raised you back to life. This day, I confess you to be the Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now, if you said that for the first time, you are born again. The Bible says that you are born again. You are saved. And I encourage you to find a Bible-believing church that will help you grow in your faith. Find somebody that will water baptize you and help you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These are just things that we can do to help grow us up in Christ. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for saving us when we looked unsavable. We thank you for loving us when we seemed to be unlovable. Father, we thank you for finding us when we were so lost. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus who paid our debt, the debt that we deserve to pay. And we thank you for blessing us with the blessing that only Jesus deserves. And now it's because of the blood of Jesus and who we are in Christ that we receive everything we need. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and chocolate footballs. Everybody come on back and have some.